And that's the bottom line. Know your role and shut your mouth.
Welcome to Wrestling Fandom Podcast with your host, Jesse Lawson.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to the Wrestling Fandom Podcast. It's been almost 2 years. October 2020 was the last time we released an episode. First of all, I want to apologize for that. But, you know, when you buy inferior equipment, and it breaks on you, and you can't really get a new one because you're kind of broke. Yes, we all know that, especially nowadays, you know. But I want to thank the homie Neil DeMert for sending me a new podcast mic. I appreciate it, and it's going to be a great new season of the Wrestling Fandom Podcast. We're doing video at youtube.com, Wrestling Fandom Podcast. Just search. We're doing it live. We're doing it live everywhere you find your favorite podcasts. It's going to be a great season. Especially with all the news coming out nowadays. Today, we're going to be talking about alcoholics, sex, and injuries. Like, come on. There's so much going on in the world of wrestling today. Who knows what's going to happen in the next few years? Hell, even the next few months. But, you know, let's get some house cleaning out of the way. Let's give a shout out to our sponsor, the T-Stop. The T-Stop is your one-stop shop for all your t-shirt needs. tinyurl.com/the T-Stop. And for all your custom shirt needs, hit them up at facebook.com/the T-Stop 509. This is a great company, local to Spokane, and we're trying to get as many customers as we can. This is our fast and quick, easy website to use at tinyurl.com/the T-Stop. But if you're looking for custom birthday shirts, family reunion shirts, heck, I just sent a customer Mud Run shirts. Bring it on. The T-Stop is your one-stop shop for all your custom needs. And also, Relentless, Friday night, July 15th, live at the Trailbreaker Cedar out at 2204 North Madison Street, Liberty Lake, Washington, 99019. Get your tickets. There's just a very few left as the recording of this. Make sure you get them at Brown Paper Bag Tickets, searching for Relentless Wrestling 9. Get your tickets because this, ladies and gentlemen, this show will sell out. And see Kid Bandit, Adam Ryder, and all the other rest of the guys appearing at Relentless Wrestling. As well as support all pro wrestling Saturday night, the very next night. Ladies and gentlemen in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area, that is a back-to-back night of professional wrestling. Actually, you know, I didn't have time to jot it down, but today as we're recording, they actually announced another show, Relentless did, on the 14th. That's 3 days of professional wrestling in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area. Can you imagine that? About 20 years ago, when Washington was the place pro wrestling came to die? Man, it is so awesome to see. But back to support all pro wrestling. Saturday night, July 16th, live at Cruiser's Bar and Grill at 6105 West Celtis Way, Stateline, Idaho. Come see Hellbound, Princess Deathwish, Jay Manson, SAPW, No Limits Champion, and Norseman, Ernest Olsen. Oh, my bad. Looks like an eye. Ogan, and many others appearing. This is another great show, ladies and gentlemen. It's an outdoor event at Cruiser's Bar and Grill. If you've been out there for MMA fights, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The setup is beautiful, the staff is beautiful, and they're ready for some wrestling action on July 16th. Make sure you get your tickets soon. You know, with that all out of the way, you know, I just gotta say, you know, I've made some updates. Granted, I'm not updated, but I made some updates to these updates to the podcast. Later on, we're going to do a YouTube channel of the week. Each and every week, we'll feature a YouTube channel that I think you wrestling fans should check out if you're not already subscribed. Never say that right. These guys have some awesome channels, some awesome videos, and later I'll be showing you one that is my first pick, and I think it's a really good one. We're also going to do Spokane history to close out the show each and every week. Each and every week, I'll pick a show that had happened within that last week. And we'll talk about it. We'll go down the card. We'll let you know the results. If the results are available. Because some shows here in Spokane, we have the match listings, but we don't have the results. I don't know why. But then again, a lot of them I wasn't born for. But I will try and find out more about each and every one of these events. But the main topic, as you've seen in the thumbnail, or as you've, you know, as I said in the beginning, is sex, alcoholics, and injuries. We're just going to knock out the injuries first. Man, there's a lot of injuries in the world of wrestling today. You got Daniel Bryan, CM Punk over on AEW. You got Randy Orton out on WWE, and so many others. Like, it just, each week, each show, it seems to be somebody else getting hurt each and every single week. To be honest, as much as I love, you know, the new generation era, quote unquote, you know, there was a lot of, I wouldn't say injuries, but there wasn't as big stars. And there's not as big stars now, but there's a lot more injuries. And it really worries me because this is, you know, we need our star players, our Daniel Bryans, our CM Punks, our Randy Ortons. And we even need the other, Kenny Omega. I'm not even an AEW fan, but we need a Kenny Omega, you know, because these are the guys people actually pay to see. No offense to Hangman Adam Page or any of his fans. Me personally, I just, you know, it just kind of, when he got his opportunity, he didn't make the best of it. But I'm also going to blame that on his booking and an inexperienced booker as Tony Khan. You know, AEW still young. You know, we got a lot of things to work on. But guess what? So does any company at 2 years, 2, 3 years old. I mean, come on. They're young. Tony doesn't know much, but he's learning. And I'm not even an AEW fan, and I'm telling you that. But with so many injuries to all these big stars, it's going to get real hard for both places, WWE and AEW, to bring in that crowd, to draw that casual viewer. As you've seen, you know, both shows are losing ratings each and every week. Well, I can't really say ratings, but viewers. Each and every week. Some weeks are better than others, and other weeks are atrocious. But also at the same time, as much as most of the internet wrestling community says it's a wrestling boom and it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, you know what made being a great time as a wrestling fan in the Attitude Era? Everybody and their mama was watching Stone Cold Steve Austin, Rock, Hogan, Nash, the NWO, Vince McMahon, the Corporation. We were all watching that. As much as I am not a Vince Russo guy or anything like that, that atmosphere, because that's really what it was the star power and the atmosphere in the buildings at those shows during that era is what we need to strive to get back to in the professional wrestling world. Because if we're really in a boom, that would be the boom. I haven't seen it yet. As much as I see online and social media that it's the best time to be a wrestling fan, and it's the greatest war that's going on. First of all, this isn't a war. There will never be a war between AEW and WWE. And all I have to say to defend myself in that argument is AEW's got about 50 or so years to catch up until they're even close to competition. The only reason Ted Turner was in WCW was competition was because of the steroid trials, Hulk Hogan lying on Arsenio Hall to all of the Hulkamaniacs that ever truly believed in him and made wrestling the big boom of the 80s and the Hulkamania era. Like, we need to strive, as much as AEW is doing, and they're doing well because their audience loves their product. Their audience is just as enthusiastic about wrestling or AEW's product as everyone was about the Monday Night Wars. But there will never be a war. Sorry to burst your bubble on that, AEW fans. And I'm not an WWE defender. I'm not even an WWE watcher. I don't watch either product because they're not my style. So for the newer listeners for season 2 and the new viewers on YouTube and Facebook and all that stuff, you know, I'm not. It's kind of hard to say, especially for the few that know me that listen and watch this. I'm not a wrestling fan no more. Like, if it's after 2004, I'm not watching. Like, no offense, but after the SmackDown 5 all went away and separated, and it's pretty much it. Like, But now you want to put on some 1970s, 1980s, 90s, I'm going to sit there and watch it. I'm not going to lie. I'll sit here and watch Memphis wrestling all damn day long. Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee. Like, I'll watch that stuff all day long. Continental, the Fullers, I'll watch that stuff all day long. But I also kind of have a hard time watching the 80s WWF, you know, when it started becoming cartoon characters more than professional wrestlers. I don't know. I'm a little, what do you say, 30 years born too late for my style of pro wrestling. But also, I'm not one of those people that just hate on everybody, except for a few. Talking to you, Jamie. You know, I just bust your balls. I love to do it because you react to it. But I'm not really one that's going to hate on you. That's what you like. This is professional wrestling. We all like our styles. We all like our tastes in it. You know, me personally, I look at the product nowadays as a big spot monkey fest. Where I like my 20-minute headlocks. I like my, my buffet, as Eric Bischoff would say. I like my match that is a spot fest. But I don't like my whole card as a spot fest. My whole show. That's just my personal opinion. Other than injuries, you know, another major story is the one, the only, Vince McMahon. This guy, whoop, my bad, this guy right here, Vince McMahon. Wow. Huh. Got caught with your pants down, didn't we? Yeah, I would say so. But, said this to a buddy the other day. You think this is the only $3 million he's ever out of his personal pocket that he's paid someone to shut the fuck up with? Really? That guy? Sorry, I'm getting used to this whole video thing. But that guy. You gotta think. That man has been on top of the world for decades. That man has been the most powerful man in our beloved professional wrestling for years. That man is also the man that killed professional wrestling, in my opinion. With his sports entertainment. But do you really think it's the first time? Well, there was another news that broke the other day about an ex-referee who is actually the first woman's referee in the WWE, or WWF, as I prefer to call it, because we all know what the hell I'm talking about. Old or new, you all know. It was the WWF. But there was another ref. There was a referee in the mid-80s that came forth about sexual allegations against that man back in 92. See, in 92, there was a thing called the sex scandals. in the WWF. Either you weren't old enough, surprised you didn't hear about it, or you just weren't a wrestling fan at the time. Which, once again, I'm surprised you didn't hear about it. But the sex scandals in the 1992, Rita Marie, the first woman's WWE referee, came forth in an interview on a Geraldo show, nonetheless, exposing the Ring Boy scandal and this. But see, all this was swept under the carpet when, once again, this man was indicted on federal charges for selling steroids to his wrestlers, distributing steroids. So all that sex scandal stuff got swept under the rug. And a lot of people on social media today, in the last day or so, really few days, have all been going crazy about this new coming forth lady from the 80s. She's not really new. As a matter of fact, I have a video and some audio of this lady's actual interview back in 1992 on the Geraldo show. And I'd like for you to watch it right about now.
Next thing I know, Vince unzipped his pants.
This woman claims McMahon told her sex was part of her job.
That was worth $500,000 a year.
Her story when we continue our investigation in a moment.
His pants. And he took my hand and he kept putting my hand on his penis. He started telling me that he knew I didn't have a job. I had left Frito-Lay because of him. He knew that I had a daughter and that he could either make me or break me. The choice was mine. And he made me have oral sex with. And he started to get really excited. And I pulled away. And he got really angry and said that it was worth $500,000 a year. And when I said no, he said that I'd better satisfy him. And he started pulling my pants off. And he pulled me on top of him. And he satisfied himself through intercourse.
Afterwards, Rita Marie said she worked for the WWF only three or four more times. And the single mother of a teenage daughter says she kept silent about McMahon's advances for almost 6 years.
I held off for a long time because of my parents. Both of my parents were very ill. My mother died a year ago. My father died 2 weeks ago. Between not having to worry about my parents' health and with other people coming forward, God, I just hope somebody listens.
Rita says she is trying to reach an out-of-court compensation settlement with McMahon, perhaps inspired by the success of another WWF employee.
That's Rita Marie, obviously. 92. Wait a minute. It's 2022. 30 years later. And that man is being accused of some sexual things. Not saying he did. Not saying he didn't. I wasn't there. I couldn't tell you. Thirty years, huh? And another one came forth. I don't know. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. See, I knew about Rita for years now. I've seen that interview years and years and years ago when I was researching the Ring Boy scandal, and I came across that. Huh. 30 years. And only two have publicly came forward. How many more do you think there are? I mean, heard rumors and innuendo about private meetings with former divas. Some divas not leaving on the best terms? Why? Who knows? But, you know, think that, man, this is surprising. Not all that surprising, to be honest. I mean, this is Vince McMahon. He's got the money to spend. He's got a lot of it. But honestly, the most interesting thing about this whole situation to me, Stephanie. Stephanie went home a little over a month ago now. For some personal reasons. And then all this stuff comes out and she's instantly named CEO, interim CEO. See, I look at this as one of two ways. One, the best long-term booking of all time. The Alliance finally wins. Or that Nick Khan's a lot smarter of a businessman than I think he lets on. Believe me, this is all my personal opinion. But the WWE will go to the highest bidder with Nick Khan and its company. He's known for it. He's known for getting companies ready to be sold. Well, really to me the question is Disney or Comcast Universal? I guess we'll find out. But we're going to get into a new segment that I have on the show. It's the YouTube channel of the week. What up, y'all? The YouTube channel of the mother frickin' week. We're gonna show. Of course. I apologize for the technical difficulties. It should be right here, but for some reason it's not coming up. I apologize. But it's Liam Savage on YouTube. If you want to check out some All Japan Pro Wrestling, some Michinoku Pro Wrestling, some Texas All-Star Wrestling, even Joel Gerdhart's Tri-State Wrestling Alliance. He's got all of them. Like, this guy has got so many classic professional wrestling, mainly All Japan, shows that I recommend to everyone. Please, go like and subscribe to Liam Savage, youtube.com/LiamSavage, and subscribe. He's got some great videos on there with some of the greatest Japanese wrestlers, some of the greatest American wrestlers, because he's got things that you ain't going to find on any other YouTube channel. This guy has an awesome assortment of YouTube videos, and I'd love for you to go give him a like, subscribe, or even just check out his channel. It doesn't cost nothing to check out. It doesn't harm you to check it out. You don't even have to subscribe if you don't want to, but I highly recommend you do. You know, I like doing this segment because, you know, there's a bunch of YouTube channels that I personally like for my old school tastes that I would like, that most people don't know about. You know, the homie Travis Esparza. I've sent him YouTube channel links. He sent me back some, and we just love old school pro wrestling. Well, each week on this segment, I'm going to give you some old school pro wrestling YouTube channels, and we're going to help these guys bump up and show YouTube that they're worth the monetization. Because a couple years ago, wrestling sites like his got demonetized. That guy deserves it. He's got a great collection that no one has and we can't get anywhere else. So please check up Liam Savage on YouTube and subscribe to his channel. Next up, though, I know you want me. Sunny, sunny, sunny. What are we gonna do with you, girl? What are we gonna do? Oh, wait. We ain't gonna do shit. Cause you gonna sit in jail. You fucked up, honey. You fucked up hard. With as many DUIs as you've had, and you, then this DUI, you kill someone in the process. I'm sorry to say, but Tammy Sitch, you fucked up. You fucked up hardcore. And my personal feelings on this, you deserve to go away for decades. Not only for killing an innocent man at a stoplight, an innocent grandfather at a stoplight, but what is this? What number of DUI is this? See, that shows a system that we have in this country that is broke. That woman should have never, and I mean ever, been behind the wheel. That woman should have never been able to drive Whether you got to break this woman's legs or not. Like, come on. You killed an innocent person. Tammy, I'm somebody who's dealt with a lot of personal demons in my life. I have dealt with a lot of hard tragedies, starting at a very early age. But homegirl, I don't know what happened to you in your life. I don't know if it was because of you and Sean. All the stories we know. You got a little broken heart. Don't know if it was Chris dying. I don't know. But honey, something's obviously hurting you. Maybe not on the outside. Shit, maybe not even mentally up here. But something's hurting your soul, honey. To where after all them DUIs, you still got wasted and behind the wheel of a car. And this time, you killed somebody. In my personal opinion, I hope Sonny gets the maximum whatever penalty she can get. Because that woman does not deserve to live in society. After how many DUIs before this? And this. But I also look at it as a kind of her boyfriend's fault. It was his car. So obviously, he let her drive said car. He should be just as much at fault. Which I understand the family feels the same way. And in their wrongful death suit against her, they also have listed as a defendant as her boyfriend, whose car it was. Their father, grandfather, whatever he was, wrongfully killed, waiting at a stoplight. Tammy Sitch, girl, while you're in jail, I hope you really start reflecting on your life, figuring out what else you don't want to admit that happened in your life that is causing this. Because I got a good feeling there's something that has driven you to be a raging alcoholic. Speaking, who else? What else was there? And who? Oh, yeah, this guy. Sorry. Personally, my thoughts. That guy right there, Jeff Hardy. Well, kind of put him in the same category with Sonny. You know, there comes a time where an addict has to choose sobriety or death. I can speak on that a little bit. Just because of the plenty of people I know that I've seen and I've been around and I personally know that have dealt with addiction on many different levels, from drugs and alcoholism. Those are your two choices, sobriety or eventually death. It's gotten me thinking. This was you in 2011 at Victory Road. And you kind of had that same look on your face in the dash cam footage. I don't know what your home life is like, Jeff. I don't know what you're feeling. I mean, by God, Jeff, you have done some amazing things in professional wrestling in the last almost 30 years you've had a career. If it's your body and you're hurting that bad, then where you gotta go for the bottle, then homie, the money is not worth sacrificing your family for, your health for, or your life for, to cope with the pain. I don't know if you got personal problems at home. I don't know. But Jeff Hardy was one of my favorites growing up. The Hardy Boys were one of my favorites during the Attitude Era when I was 9, 10, 11 years old. But with these things keep on happening, I really hope you get help, Jeff. I really do. Because I don't want to see you end up like so many of the greats, like Louis Spicoli, Brian Pillman. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you're out there, Jeff Hardy's out there taking pills and all that stuff. But I don't want to see Jeff Hardy found in a hotel room dead, is my point. And I also don't want to see Jeff Hardy go down the road as Sonny did. Because, Jeff, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, bro, once again, there is something. Whether you need to go to therapy, whether you need to go, just go and retire from professional wrestling and go live out your life with your family. Whatever it is, you need to do it. Because like I said, and like I've seen, you have two choices with addiction. Sobriety or death. And believe me, I understand. It's one of the biggest bitches in the world. And I will never argue anyone on that fact. Because I've seen it. I know people that are super close to me that I've dealt with it and have came out the better side. I also have known of people super close to me that I have not. This is a war. And Jeff, you're losing. After the last, it's been what? I know at least since the beginning of Thunderdome, since you had your last one a couple years ago, right? But also at the same time, makes me wonder. My opinion, not trying to say he was, not trying, you know, allegedly, whatever verbiage you want to use. What happened that night? You know, in WWE, when you jumped over the rail and just bailed on the match in the middle of the match. Did we have a couple? Were you like this? I don't know. But Jeff, you were one of the greatest wrestlers in the last 30 years, almost. The style of professional wrestling that is happening now, and the majority of the style in the company you work for, is all based on what you did back in the day. You are a building block to this evolution of the professional wrestling game. And let me speak on behalf of most wrestling fans, because I know there's some detractors of yours. I've seen them on Twitter and everything. Get some help, bro. I know it's not going to mean much coming from me, but get some help. Because like I said, we don't want to see Jeff Hardy found in a hotel room. Or Jeff Hardy killed somebody behind the wheel while he was drunk. Please get some help. That's right, it's time for Spokane history. On this segment, we're going to figure out, we're going to find a show that has happened within the week of the podcast dropping. This one was actually today, but 65 years ago. That's right. 65 years ago today, right here in Spokane, good old Luthes, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, came to town to defend his championship against the number one challenger in Spokane, Doug Donovan, in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Well, Lou toppled Donnie. Doug Donovan, 2-1. Let me grab up my notes right here that I took for this card. As well that night, a 2 out of 3 fall match with Frank Stojak and Nick Kozak ended in a no contest, 1 fall apiece, and a time limit draw in the third fall. Doug Donovan's partner, Red Donovan, probably related. Probably brothers. Actually, I think they are. Beat Mo Smith 2-1 falls in a 2 out of 3 falls match. This is Tuesday, July 2nd, 1957, y'all. 1957. Most matches back then were 2 out of 3 falls. But there was also a special match on this card. A judo match. Don't think I've ever seen what a professional wrestling judo match is. But it consisted of Martin DeFrance. Francisco defeating Bolo Sharama in a judo match. But it was all in front of a crowd of 2,500 fans at the Interstate Fairgrounds. See, the Interstate Fairgrounds used to hold a lot of events around this area. A lot. Quite a bit. Also, the recently torn down Joe Albey Stadium had hosted a Luthez NWA World Title match. Yeah. Luthez came to town quite a bit, as we'll go through Spokane history about, like, Luthez loved the Pacific Northwest. This was a great place to go hunting and fishing. And I mean, most of us know that. But Luthez absolutely loved the Pacific Northwest. That's why he always came. He was the one NWA world champion that would come quite a bit to Spokane. A little... Yeah, we may be the second city in Washington, but we're the, compared to the Seattle-Tacoma area, you know, we're the little fish. But going through the research on Spokane history, you know, this guy was here all the time, defending the NWA championship. Ric Flair wasn't here very often. Twice, if it wasn't a Monday Night Raw taping. Wait. Scratch that. When he was on Raw, we didn't get no Monday Night Raw tapings. You know? But Luthez was a great professional wrestler. And for the younger viewers out there, I'm sounding like I'm in my 50s, but for the younger viewers out there, research Luthez, great world champion. He would have done it the hard way or the easy way on quite a few folks. If you could, I would tell you, ask Buddy Rogers. But once again, Wrestling Fandom Podcast is back for a season 2. We'll have guests. Cause this gangster mic the homie Neil sent me comes with this nifty little adapter piece that plugs into my phone, so then I can use my voice recorder app to record interviews. So we'll be getting interviews with some of the guys coming into town on all the different shows. But once again, please check out the T-Stop on Facebook. Give it a like. Check out Relentless Wrestling. They're always out there busting their asses. And also check out Support All Pro Wrestling, Northwest Pro, Reactivate, Defy, and every other Washington wrestling promotion. 5CC, 5 Squared Circle. I apologize. Can't think of the acronym at the moment. But, you know, the homie Rook is out there at 5 Squared Circle. You know, we got SOS, I believe that's Washington. There's just so much Washington wrestling out there nowadays. And really, it makes me proud. You know, I don't like to toot my own horn, but I'm thankful that in detention when I was 16, me and a friend came up with an idea for a crappy backyard wrestling organization that eventually became a bottom of the barrel indie here in Spokane. That got, once that died off, Spokane wrestling has truly grown. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you guys who are a part of it, Relentless and SAPW. I want to thank you guys because you guys help. You guys are like, I feel like a parent, and you guys are courting my child, you know, through, you know, adulthood. Like, thank you. Because there was no pro wrestling here. It was a very minute amount of wrestling on the other side of the state, the Seattle area, Tacoma area, the Bremerton area, and all that. But now the whole state's blowing up. So proud of that. Because this was the state. A lot of people would say pro wrestling comes to die in Washington because A, you can't draw a crowd, and no one cared. But everyone's hard work and dedication to this industry has built this state back up to being a destination. Matt Farmer, Defy, I really have to thank you guys for doing that. You are the top dog in the state, and you deserve to be. Hell, you're my hometown hero. Everyone in this state, they like their Mariners, they like their Seahawks. I like my Defy. And I'll always be a Defy fan because that's my hometown team. Don't get me wrong to any of the other promotions in this state. That's just the big dog. And I'll support the big dog as well as support all you guys. Once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for making Spokane wrestling grow, become strong, have a bright future. Once again, this is Jesse Lawson with the Wrestling Fandom Podcast. Technically, season 2, episode 1, but I'm just going to keep going, and this is episode 13, y'all. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week. Much love.